Hey, it's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program. As always, you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. So feel free to hop into one of those if you want to get on the air with us tonight. It's Ian.
Richard Rich.
And Mark.
Richie Rich coming through a pretty hardcore snowstorm to get out here, driving an hour and, what, two hours? How long did it take?
It's like an hour and 50 minutes to get it.
Yeah, a little longer than normal then. Yep. Yeah, too. Well, that was good. You're taking
it
easy.
That's okay. I took it easy.
Right.
Right.
You made it.
I think it's worth pointing out that you have a Subaru.
That's true.
That helps.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, though, we bought that here just for this.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got stuff to talk about
tonight. Subaru is not paid for this particular endorsement.
Coming up, Richie, you've got a story about a social justice warrior guide to, quote, challenge bigoted relatives, unquote, during the holidays.
I thought that would be fun.
That's on the way here. Plus, I've got this clip of Joe Biden, or allegedly of,
who knows at this
of
point.
Joe Biden. And I just want to know if you think this is real. Mark, you have not heard this, apparently, so this is going to be your first time.
No, I know nothing of what you speak.
Hearing this. He appears to be at some sort of, some kind of an appearance. He's at a city of something. Like, you can see the city logos on the podium right in front of him. He's surrounded by people who are also attending this particular event. I don't know what... Okay, now somebody's claiming this has not been doctored. They then show the full segment with whatever the context was. But I'm just going to show you the clip here, or play it for you, the audio of Joe Biden. Well, let's just, no more preface.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
Has he been out in the sun too long?
So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. What? And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's the money quote there.
That's the part that's going to get edited out and replayed everywhere else.
Okay, here we go, Democrats.
This, I love kids jumping
guy
on my lap.
Cannot be your guy, okay? Because now he has a quote out there that says, I love kids jumping on my lap.
That's not perverted.
It doesn't have to be.
Then it shows a picture of him sniffing people's daughter's hair.
That's perverted looking, yeah, for sure. Those videos of him creeping on little kids, little girls, are pretty crazy.
Okay, when you say that you love kids jumping on your lap, I should say, not in your, I shouldn't use you in this circumstance.
I don't like kids at all.
Divorce this from any. When one says that one likes kids to jump on one's lap, what could someone mean that isn't perverted or weird?
So I'll address that, because I do like kids. Mm-hmm. I like babies all the way up. I like being around them. There's nothing sexual about it. But I'm not in a position, right, as an older white male to be in those situations as much as I would like, right? My grandma taught at a preschool, so I would go to class with her, and it was fun helping out the little ones, right? Just, you know, at like 7, 8, 9, however years old, and it just kind of grows on you that I like being around kids. So if a kid comes up to me and, like, you know, wants to sit on my lap for whatever reason, because, you know, they feel comfortable, like, hop on, man. I don't really care. There's nothing sexual about it. If you want to run up to me and give me a hug because you feel comfortable doing so, I don't really care. But I realize that it would look bad if that were to happen, like, out in the general public, right? People would have, well, that's not his kid. Why does he have the kid on his lap? Well, because the kid's comfortable there, man. You sit on Santa Claus' lap, you sit on my lap, who cares?
Sure.
If it's a comfortable spot for a kid to be, I'm more than happy to accommodate.
I'm with you, and I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with it, but we have moved into a world where I wouldn't let my young son do any babysitting because, Lord knows, if an accusation was made, it would be bad.
Is he old
news.
Enough to babysit? He's only like 11.
That's getting close, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can start babysitting at 11 or 12. As a matter of fact, he has
my babysitters were teenagers when I was a kid.
I suspect you don't know how old your youngest babysitters were when you were at your youngest, but... his young friend, who is a young lady, got her babysitting certificate. Now, I don't...
Where does that come from?
I don't know. I think it's Red Cross. And
so they learn CPR, basically.
I don't know what they learn. Yeah. Probably how to use a telephone would be my guess. Pick up the phone, call 911. Mm. But, you know, just to what to look for, what's going wrong, these kind of things. Either way, she's certified in babysitting. Mm. So...
I'm pretty sure the Red Cross teaches CPR, don't they? I'm almost certain they do. So
wouldn't that surprise might not be part of the babysitting certificate, though.
Yeah. Right. I took their life-saving class, which is for lifeguards, and we did learn CPR, but we learned lots of other things.
Right.
So maybe they teach the
Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah, they.
I would teach that too.
Lots of things.
Yeah.
But isn't it sad that your son isn't able to do that if he was passionate about doing it? Right. Because some social stigma of what it is to be, you know, male around children. Hmm. Even if it's, again, non-sexual, he can't be a babysitter because there's, you know, some female stereotype.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Right. The stereotype that would have been in place before has now been backed up with this weird thing that we have societally, that men are sex-crazed maniacs that can't control themselves. If that were the case, society would be significantly more dangerous than it is today.
Yeah.
But... You know, that's what people think.
It's been my experience that women are equally, if not more so, sexually driven than men.
Well, somehow the species has come along somehow, so one would presume.
So, my first thought on this, and I didn't find that the comment about the kids to be that particularly offensive. The rest of it was what was ridiculous, was just him rambling about roaches and his leg hair, and just a bizarre ramble.
Well, again,
it was a deep fake.
It needs some context because if he's out down south, right, where it's warm and hot, and you know you got bugs crawling around, hairy legs keeps the bugs off you. You know, I don't get a lot of mosquito bites on my legs because I've got furry legs too.
I don't know if that's true. Maybe they just don't like how you taste.
Well, I was told that vitamin C, if you take a natural vitamin E supplement, that it puts some layer of oil on your skin that keeps the bugs off you because they're, you know.
I don't know what he's talking about in this, but it sounds like a man who's been in the sun too long.
Well, now, I think you were saying, I don't know if it was on the air or before we started, that, you know, these guys are campaigning usually a lot, right? Like, they're getting very little sleep. They're going from one campaign site to the next campaign site. So you can forgive somebody if they lose it at some point during a campaign.
But he's trying to relate to his audience. Mm-hmm. And in the video, if you watch the video, you don't really see what his audience is. So what would compel him?
I see a lot of younger black folks around him, but that's all I got.
All right.
He's trying to fit in or something. Who knows?
Anyway, I just thought it was
cement pool and you get water on your legs and the hair stands up.
I thought it was bizarre and worth sharing. So in other news, here's a story from USA Today about 90 foreign students at a fake university in Metro Detroit created by the Department of Homeland Security have been arrested in recent months. A total of about 250 students have now been arrested since January on immigration violations by ICE, that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as part of a sting operation by federal agents who enticed foreign-born students, mostly from India, to attend the school that marketed itself as offering graduate programs in technology and computer studies, according to ICE officials.
All right, everything sounds good. We're opening a university, and we're going to get foreign kids to apply to it, and they're going to learn things and stuff, right?
Many of those arrested have been deported, while others are contesting their removals.
We're going to deport them?
One has been allowed to stay after being granted lawful permanent resident status by an immigration judge. And I feel like we covered this story in the past, so maybe it was January when we first covered it here on Free Talk Live, because we definitely covered a story about the ICE running a fake school, so it must have been this one. The University of Farmington, as it was called, was a creation of the federal agents, and the students had arrived legally on student visas, but then lost their immigration status after the school was shut down in January.
That's the insidious part.
Let's get a little further into this story here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. So, I mean, this sounds like straight-up entrapment to me. 855-450-FREE. You can join us, the toll-free number here, and you can take control of the airwaves on Free Talk Live's live Sunday show. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about the fake university set up by the Department of Homeland Security's ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, for the purpose of entrapping young people into immigration. Make, you know, not that they had intended to immigrate illegally, but to simply entrap them into this scheme that would essentially result in them being deported and potentially charged with things.
And it's not even that they immigrated illegally. They were here on, like, student visas. They Legal were here visa. Legally.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to tell you more about that. Plus, I want you to know about the Edge wallet. That is the best wallet, in my opinion. I used it tonight while we were out to dinner before the show, because we can do that in Keene, New Hampshire. Spend cryptocurrency in real life, and Edge makes it easy, whether you're spending it online or real life or whatever. Edge allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, Dash, Ethereum, various tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Ravencoin, and others. Go to edge.app to learn more about how you can secure your freedom on Edge. It's available for iOS and Android devices, and of course it's free. So go to edge.app to learn more and get your copy of Edge Wallet. It's the wallet that I use more often than any other crypto wallet, and that was true before they became an advertiser here. I've been a fan of theirs for a while.
It is a great wallet.
So, by the way, I did watch some of the context on the Joe Biden clip, just to go back to what we started the show with here. And he's in Wilmington, Delaware, it appears, and he's kind of talking about his history in the town. I guess he had some personal history there, talking to a large group of people, apparently. And they're really – the context around it has absolutely nothing to do with what he just starts babbling about.
Fair enough.
There's nothing that makes that make more sense. At least, you know, listening to the 30 or 60 seconds prior to and a little bit afterwards as well. So he just kind of stops down in the middle of his speech and just starts rambling about, you know, what he said. Anyway, just thought you might want to know that.
Reminiscing on the good old days.
We'll put the link up for you on our social media so you can examine it as closely as you wish. So the story here from USA Today is about 250 students who've been arrested since January. They apparently recently arrested 90 of those 250 students. So this has been an all-year-long sting operation, basically. Many of them have been deported. Others are contesting their removals. The students had arrived legally into the United States on student visas. But since the University of Farmington was later revealed to be a creation of federal agents, meaning it was completely fake, they lost their immigration status after the school was shut down in January. The school was staffed with undercover agents posing as university officials. Out of the approximately 250 students arrested on administrative charges, quote, nearly 80 were granted voluntary departure and departed the United States. So they just wasted, or nearly 80%, if I didn't say percent, they wasted hundreds of people's time.
Yeah.
Making them,
and then kicked them out of the country.
Right. Just a total waste.
You think they'd give them a little time to apply to another university or something?
That would be something a compassionate person might do.
Well, no, because that's not the goal. That wasn't the goal. It wasn't to get them to apply at a different university. If you read it, or as you're reading it, I should say, the reason they defaulted on their student visa was because they went from whatever university they were in initially on a legal visa to this fake university, and because the university was fake, their student visa was no longer valid.
Right.
If they applied to a regular school, their visa would have been extended, no problem. But because they, you know, got entrapped into this fake university, that's what
and then
caused,
arrested.
Right. But they were arrested. What they caused them, their visas to go into default for the sole purpose of arresting them.
That's right.
So this reminds me of the, you know, they say, you won the lottery to a bunch of people who have warrants out.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then they get them to come to a place and then they lock them up.
And grab them.
Well, that's different. In so much as
those are wanted criminals for some
those are
other
people
reason.
Who have warrants. Yeah. Whether we agree with the warrants or not is beside the point. But they have warrants, and then they're just getting them to come to a place. This is a pretty reasonable. I mean, I don't know why these people particularly applied to this university.
It gets
but
into that.
They applied, and the very fact that it's there. It sounds as much. I don't know what entrapment is, but this sounds like whatever the hell entrapment is.
Sure does. Of the remaining 20%, half have received a final order of removal, and some were ordered removed by an immigration judge. Others were, quote, given an expedited removal by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The remaining 10% have either filed for some sort of relief or contesting their removals with the Executive Office for Immigration Review. I said that about 161 students as of March had been arrested, and now that's grown to about 250. Meanwhile, 7 of the 8 recruiters who were criminally charged with trying to recruit students have pleaded guilty and sentenced in Detroit. The remaining defendant will be sentenced in January. I don't even know what that means. The recruiters?
Yeah, I'm lost on that.
Who have been charged, there's no context for that. Attorneys for the students arrested said they were unfairly trapped by the U.S. government, since the Department of Homeland Security had said on its website the university was legitimate. An accreditation agency that was working with the U.S. on its sting operation also listed the university as legitimate. So basically, if they tried to do due diligence here, I mean, I don't know. Look, I haven't been in college for a couple of decades. I went to community college, so I don't know if this is common where when you look at a college, how many people actually check to see if it's accredited?
You should, but here's the thing. I'll jump in.
And they did.
Right. So I worked for a scammy online university back in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've had a few scammy jobs.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can get yourself into when you're willing to work for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked for this university as a recruiter. You know, I was the one calling potential students. We called Africa. We called Southeast Asia. There wasn't a lot of U.S. Applicants for this school because it was only online. It was self-directed classes, whatever.
And it's in Hawaii.
The operation was based out of Hawaii, but there was no campus.
Right.
Like our office was it.
Gotcha.
But you know, because we're calling these, you know, because of the time zone, we had a lot of time in the middle of the day to not do much work because we couldn't call because of the hours. So me and one of my coworkers, we tried to look into the university and the president of the university and the accrediting agency that we were touting. And it turns out like the university was accredited, but when you go to the accrediting agency, it was basically like, give us $3,000
and we'll accredit you.
And we'll accredit you. You have our accreditation. And they would go like, you know, the president, the founder of the university has a PhD. I would go, where did he get his PhD from? It was from the university. So we.
Wow.
I was fired shortly thereafter because I couldn't, you know.
You knew too much.
Not that I knew too much. I was a terrible recruiter because it was, you know, it was scammy all the way up and down. So I wrote out my base pay until they fired me. But you know, we had all this time to research, so it's easy. You know, you set up a website, you get the .edu address, right? You get some scammy fake accrediting agency. Your highest official has a PhD, so it seems legit, and the students were none the wiser, right? They forked over some fraudulent credit card because, you know, some guy in Africa's, you know, let me use my auntie's card, you know, Susan Smith. Right? Oh, that didn't work. How about my uncle, Paul Johnson?
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, yeah, I don't want to take your car anymore, man. You know, but it's not that difficult to set it up, especially if you're the government, because that's all you really need to get the .edu, you know, the .edu domain.
You don't even need to do that. There was a story this week about somebody who completely defrauded the .gov domain's setup.
Nice.
So I don't know how I didn't read the story, but he jumped through whatever fake hoops he needed to jump through and managed to make himself look like the mayor of a town that didn't exist and managed to get a .gov domain name.
Props to that guy.
Yeah, so there's more coming up here. 855, 450, free. So these young people tried to do their due diligence. They checked the accreditation on this college that was fake. Turns out the accrediting agency was also knowingly working with ICE to fake accredit.
Hey, everyone. This is Charlie Shrem. You've seen me on the Netflix documentary, Banking on Bitcoin, and the new best-selling book, Bitcoin Billionaires. I want to invite you to join me on my new show, Untold Stories, for a deep dive into crypto history with the people who made that history. Together, we'll explore the personalities and events that gave rise to Bitcoin and the crypto revolution, the innovation, the collaboration, the battles, and the busts. You'll have a front row seat to the early days of crypto up to today, and you'll hear from the folks who lived through it and survived to drive this movement mainstream. Untold Stories looks back to reveal what inspired some of the greatest minds on Earth to come together to create this technology and change the future for everyone. So join me and my guests, the techies and the traders, the entrepreneurs and the innovators, as we explore our past and understand what that means for the future. Listen now on untoldstories.com. That's untoldstories.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, more about this ICE scam, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement fooling hundreds of people into signing up for a college that didn't actually exist. It was completely fabricated and faked the accreditation for the college with what apparently was like a legitimate accreditation company or whatever.
That part wasn't clear whether they used the because there are legitimate accrediting agencies. What wasn't clear if a legitimate accrediting agency was assisting ICE or were they faked that one too and just put out some fake accreditation like the university that I worked for.
So it's Ian, Richie, and Mark here in the studio tonight. You can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up in 2020, April 3rd through the 5th, mark your calendar for LibertyCon. It's going to be happening in D.C., and it'll be for people who care about freedom and want to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations for perhaps the purpose of career advancement or maybe business or internship opportunities. You'll be able to hear from great speakers like John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO. He'll be speaking on conscious capitalism. Vernon Smith, winner of the Nobel Prize in Economics, speaking on alternative markets. Miriam Issa, who's a pop culture expert and political commentator with over 300 million YouTube views. And Nassim Nicholas Taleb, who spent 21 years as a risk taker before becoming a researcher in philosophical, mathematical, and practical problems with probability. There's a lot more to learn. Go to libertycon.com, and you can register there, of course, using code FTL, like Free Talk Live. That'll save you $10 on your registration, which is significant, by the way. $10 doesn't sound like a lot, but when it's out of just an $80 fee for registration, that's a pretty big discount. I've never heard of a convention that's this affordable, but it's real. You go to libertycon.com, and you can get signed up there. Early registration is still available. Use code FTL to get that $10 discount. And we'll look forward to seeing you there because Mark and I are going to be broadcasting from that event. The Marriott Marquis will offer discounted rooms, and even student travel scholarships are available. So if you can't afford to get there as a student, they're going to help you with that. LibertyCon.com, or at least they could. I don't know what you have to do to get the scholarship, but it's there.
Chit-chat with them. That's what they do.
Yep. So we're going to go back to your – or go to your calls and thoughts, and then we can talk more about this ICE crackdown on not illegal so-called immigrants, but people who were here legally and then signed up for a university that wasn't actually a real university. So the DHS using deception and lies to entrap people into their scheme that ended up deporting hundreds of people. We'll get into it further here and tell you more because it does get worse, as Richie pointed out. Tom is in New Hampshire, however. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
Good evening. On Saturday afternoon, I went to a candidate meeting at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics where candidate Tulsi Gabbard was present. A few days earlier, Elizabeth Warren was talking in Manchester about how she wants to get big money out of politics. You know, all these big campaign donors is pretty much controlling and undermining our democracy, but she wants to impose the wealth tax and spend the money buying votes. Talk about big money in politics, what the wealth tax would bring in, and then she wants to buy votes with that. Vote for her, and she'll pay off your student loans and your medical bills. Talk about talking out both sides of her mouth. She wants to take big money out of politics that is earned by people who went through the system legally, got the money, earned the money legally, and she wants to take that out of politics.
Yeah, all of that is just talk. I mean, these politicians are full of it. This is just talk to get the base riled up and get them behind her. The idea that these people would somehow prevent donors from contributing to their campaigns is just laughable on its face.
Well, when you're the smaller candidate, that's what you want, right? Because it's the bigger candidate
that has more money.
That has more money. And if you can bring them down to your financial level, then at least evens it out on a financial
But he's saying it's Warren that's wanting this. That's not a small candidate. You were saying it was Warren that was demanding that, right?
Correct. And I want to bring up what happened at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics.
He was talking about an interview with Gabbard, but then started talking about Warren.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what the connection was.
Warren, She wants to take big money out of politics, except that she wants to take tax money and spend it buying votes, whereas Tulsi Gabbard wants to stop a lot of regime change wars. And when she opened it up for questions, a conversation, as she called it, I brought up an important issue, perhaps the most important issue of this presidential campaign cycle, and that is that the United States Constitution gives Congress the power to fix the standard of weights and measures, and they passed a law in 1866 giving people the freedom to use the metric system, but that doesn't do much good when the states are posting mile-per-hour speed limits and forcing. Here's an actual libertarian.
Is this really a big campaign issue?
Yeah. My God, I would totally vote for whomever is ready to go for the metric system. I don't care what else
metric system
doing.
And get rid of daylight savings time, right?
Yeah, I mean, just some practical solutions as far as this stuff goes. Our weights and measures are a mess.
And forcing the grocers to post the unit price per quart. And then when my wife filed for United States citizenship, the form, the app instructions say to give your height in feet and inches, which is a clear violation of U.S. Code Title 15, Section 204. And I posed the question, can we, the people of the United States, count on President Gabbard to secure the blessings of the metric system to ourselves and our posterity?
And what did she say?
Or would you be on the side of the ignoramuses who are proud that they don't even know the metric system? And there was a lot of applause for that question from people who, I guess, realized how superior the metric system
wow.
is. She was stunned to hear that, but she went on to say nobody had ever asked her that before. And if you watch the video, it's on YouTube, by the way. YouTube, you search, and then you put in when, colon, like, 2D for 2 days.
Okay.
That's how you search them.
But what was her response, besides saying she'd never been asked
like
that
she was stunned
before?
She thinks that the people need to have this conversation, and she doesn't have a particular opinion yet because she doesn't know how much support there is for this or that. But
well, the problem is that the only president so far who's had the guts to do this was Jimmy Carter, right? And he was
proposed the metric system. You mean
more than propose it? I mean, when I was a kid, it was 55 miles an hour, and underneath it, it was 88 kilometers. They were in the process of transitioning into the kilometer, the metric system.
Really?
And Reagan, among other things that he did, is like, oh, I'm going to support the old people that don't want to learn crap.
Conservatives.
And I'm going to. And so he got rid of that.
Look, if you want kilometers, move to Canada, man.
They have that up there?
Right, yeah, they do. Yeah.
If I go move to Canada, I go to prison.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Canada's already locked me in prison one time.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Tom. Appreciate you bringing that up. Now, would that also mean we'd go to leaders or leaders metric?
Yes. Leaders are metric.
Okay. You know what really throws me? When they give British fighters weight in stone. Like, oh, weighing in at 13 stone.
What? How much is a stone?
I don't know.
It sounds big.
Yeah.
It's even worse than metric.
So if you want to join us here, you can. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So let's go on here. We were talking about the Immigration and Customs Enforcement fake university, which, this, according to the USA Today story here, says there was an accreditation agency working with the Department of Homeland Security, which listed the university as legitimate.
Right.
So,
but my point is there are illegitimate accrediting agencies out there.
And they don't identify which one
right.
it was. But either way, clearly some private company was willing to do business with ICE
Absolutely.
For whatever the amount was in order to help them fool 250 students into signing up for this university. Now, there's more to the story, and it does get worse, because not only did these young people get thrown out of the United States, but they also got robbed. So we'll tell you about it coming up here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's exactly what you might expect from a criminal enterprise like the federal government. Coming up. Yeah! It is Free Talk Live. It's the live Sunday edition of the program. And you can join us here toll-free at 855-450-FREE. If you're sick and tired of Washington politicians making decisions about you and your family's health care? Well, you do have options. Obamacare, unfortunately, it was shoved down a lot of people's throats. It was advertised as though it was going to help with affordable health care with choices, but it's turned into high price insurance with little choice. The team at BetterPlans.net believe there was a better way to do health insurance, and they figured out how. You can call them at 800-714-1802 to get a fast and free quote. The truth is, you can get affordable health care plans that cost hundreds of dollars less per month, but the first step is to become aware of how the wool's been pulled over your eyes. You can download their free ebook, Dirty Little Secrets, at BetterPlans.net. They've got sample plans and pricing there that is every bit as good as the major providers' plans for as little as $145 a month for a single, and even greater savings for families and businesses. You can get access to educational videos and the free quote, plus your free ebook, Dirty Little Secrets, at BetterPlans.net. Obamacare's enrollment deadline is December 15th, so don't delay. Visit BetterPlans.net or call 800-714-1802. Let's go back to the phones and to the fun. We'll tell you more about the fake government university that was designed to entrap people into deporting them. But first, James, you're on Free Talk Live, listening to KWTO in Springfield.
Howdy.
Hey, James.
Yes, did you guys get a original copy of the paper that advertised the university?
No, did you?
What's it say?
No, I didn't, actually. I wondered which publication it was published in.
I don't know if it was a newspaper as much as it was online. I'm not real clear on how it was being promoted to these students or how they found it. That's not clear from the story.
I mean, there used to be, when I was in high school, there was a book that had a listing of all the colleges in the United States. I'm sure there's an online publication somewhere where you could filter it down to online if that's what you're looking for. And they just probably put that one in with the rest of the legitimate ones.
James?
Kind of like to hear from someone who was not part of the targeted audience that they...
Are you listening? I can hear something in the background. It sounds like you might be listening to the radio at the same time as talking to us, which can be very, very confusing. So you may want to turn that down to make things a little more clear.
Okay, there we go.
That helps. So what were you saying? You wanted to hear from somebody who wasn't part of the targeted audience?
We got three people right here.
Yes. Someone that maybe would be willing to discuss the process when they went responding to the ad. And
apparently they got arrested.
So someone from the target audience.
Yeah, so James, thank you for the call tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. It sounds like what they did was, because I continue to hear us in the background. It sounded like what they did was they arrested these people and then told them, well, you can voluntarily leave, or we can just go ahead and detain you even longer. What would you like to do?
I guess part of this, I would agree with, was it James?
James, yeah.
James on this to some extent. If the advertisement, let's say a Facebook sponsored ad comes up and it says, enroll in a fake university and stay in the United States.
I don't think that's what happened.
I don't know what happened.
Okay.
But that would be the point at which I'm like, oh, all right, now this is beginning to make a little more sense to me. And the more, the less it's like that, then the less obviously that I have to, that I like this. But, you know, if it was patently obvious that this was a university in name only where you wouldn't have to complete coursework, you wouldn't progress in grades, you simply are paying some money to stay in the United States for, I don't know, another 2 years or 3 years, however long the university process is, then, okay, I kind of understand where we're going with this, but other than that, it just sounds like, and that would still be entrapment. If the feds opened a university that says, fake university, pay us money and stay in the United States, then people who otherwise would not have committed a crime commit a crime based on their advertisement. That sounds like entrapment to
me. I'm guessing, I don't think you were on the show when we first talked about this, Mark, earlier this year, but the good news is archive.org has a copy of the website. So if you want to see what it's... if you want to see what it says, it's all there for you to look at. UniversityofFarmington.edu was the site. And here is what it said back in April of 2018.
Okay.
The University of Farmington is a nationally accredited business and STEM institution, STEM being the science, technology, something, math, engineering, math, located in Metro Detroit. Our innovative curriculum combines traditional instruction and distance learning with full-time professional experiences. We offer flexible class schedules and a focus on students who do not want to interrupt their careers. The University of Farmington traces its lineage back to the early 1950s. This is completely false. When returning soldiers from the Second World War were seeking a quality and marketable education. At the time, Detroit was the center of innovation and manufacturing. Skilled and motivated workers were in short supply. Large and small colleges and universities developed programs to assuage this demand for one such... Sorry, there was a period there. For one such school, the Detroit Engineering Institute, DEI, founded in 1912, it was the golden era for a skills-based engineering education. In today's parlance, a STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics program, equal parts classroom and workplace. Sadly, DEI closed in 1989, coinciding with the demise of Detroit and its industrial prowess. Now, with the much-publicized rebirth of Detroit and its growing advanced manufacturing and technology economy, there again is a need for motivated workers who possess the education and skills needed to compete in the 21st century. You can then click on more information there. Please explore our academic offerings to see if University of Farmington is the right place to achieve your success. So, I mean, it's not like, hey, this is a fake university, guys. Come on, sign up.
It sounds like what they're offering is for people who have jobs in engineering to be able to...
Continuing their education.
Continue working and... continue their education so that they're able to stay in the country. And that doesn't sound like the most evil position for a potential immigrant to be taking.
Bachelor of Business Administration, they offered that, and a Bachelor of Science, you could get it in accounting, finance, international business, supply chain management, public relations, and marketing. I mean, this just goes on. It's just a pitch website for what appears to be a real university.
It's bizarre.
So if you jump over to the RT article,
yeah.
Part of that article also has the fact that they blame the students who complained about it being fake. Like some students said,
really?
Like, right. So some students said they tried to transfer out of it when they realized it was a scam setup. And they were like, they were too late. They said, well, you should have known better. You should have recognized this as a scam and not even enrolled in the first place.
Ridiculous. Yeah. According to the USA Today piece, there were more than 600 students enrolled at the fake university, which was created a few years ago by federal law enforcement officials with ICE, which, as RT points out, was created during the Obama administration. So there's some people who want to point at the Trump administration and say, ah, see, Trump, you know, evil. Well, this started during Obama and continued under Trump. Records filed with the Department of State. Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs showed the University of Farmington was incorporated in January of 2016. Many of the students had enrolled with the university through a program known as Curricular Practical Training, which allows students to work in the U.S. through an F-1 visa program for foreign students. Some had transferred to the University of Farmington from other schools that had lost their accreditation, which means they would no longer be allowed to remain in the U.S. Emails obtained by the Detroit Free Press this year showed how the fake university attracted students to the school, which cost about $12,000 on average in tuition and fees per year.
So they rip these people off for $12,000 and they kick them out of the country for not recognizing a scam university, even though once they became students at the scam university and attempted to leave the scam university, they were then blamed for not recognizing that it was a scam before they gave the money up.
And they kept their money.
This is... I mean, this is absolutely wrong.
It's straight up fraud. It's straight up robbery. That's what it is.
And the problem here is that nobody is going to stay in the country long enough, because they're all getting kicked out, to be able to file suit against these people.
10% of them are challenging the detentions.
And don't forget that none of the people who came up with this con, who work for the government, are ever going to be held responsible.
No, they're going to do it again. You know they're doing it right now. They filed another corporation in some other state, and they're going to put up another website and do the same thing over again.
It's you and me who
another
has to
fake website.
Who has to pay this bill. As soon as a judge says, my God, this is outrageous, then here we are, the taxpayer. We're going to pony up for these stupid Customs and Border Patrol agents who are breaking the law again.
None of
again.
Whom will be fired. They will just simply
no, they're
be assigned
get promotions,
to something else.
This oh God.
And the judge may not even rule in their favor because they're foreigners going to be filing suit from out of the country at that point because they're getting kicked out.
Can some Republican that supports this dumb crap call in and explain to me what you could possibly be thinking? I know that I can't understand every issue in its totality, so please explain to me how this obvious entrapment that is obviously going to be overturned and rip these people off and ruin their lives is a good idea.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. You can join us on the radio. Hour 2's next.
Are you sick of hearing the same crap on libertarian podcasts? Inside jokes, interviews of the same person you've heard 50 times? Then you need to listen to the Lava Flow podcast. No nonsense and to the point. Get the information you need and get out. You won't hear the latest libertarian circle jerk news here, but instead hard-hitting anti-statist news with me, Roger Paxton, shooting from the lip. LAVA stands for Libertarian, Anarcho-Capitalist, Voluntarist, and Agorist. And if you think you fit any of these categories, then this is the podcast for you. Listen now at thelavaflow.com to find out what's rustling my jimmies, what's in the news, the latest bad cop, stupid stuff statists are saying, and so much more. You can find out more and subscribe on any podcatcher at thelavaflow.com. That's thelavaflow.com. Part of the Pax Libertas Productions podcast network.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. Coming up. How was your Thanksgiving? Was there any arguments between family members about politics? Well, Richie's got a story, which apparently is advice for social justice warriors, some kind of a guide to, quote, challenge bigoted relatives, unquote, during the holidays. We'll get into that coming up here. It's Ian, Richie, and Mark in the studio, but we're still sharing a little bit more from this initial story we were discussing about this so-called University of Farmington, which is a completely fabricated university created by the Department of Homeland Security's ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, for the purpose of not only deporting innocent, peaceful students, because, you know, with the whole immigration crackdown, they want you to believe that immigrants are dangerous, right? There's rapists and murderers out there. We need the government to keep us safe. But yet here they've deported 250, or they mostly have deported 250. There's a few of them that have challenged the deportation and such. But
these were people who were presumably working in the STEM fields.
They were students already.
Mostly engineering. Yeah. And they fell for a trick that this University of Farmington, which was set up by the government,
by ICE,
and they fell for it, and then some of them attempted to move on. Some of them, you know, like they hadn't gotten to that. Some of them, you know, maybe some of them were just wanting a fake university. I don't know.
They didn't know it was fake.
Well, maybe one of them did. I don't know the answer, but
it was accredited. Looked legit.
The website doesn't say. Join a fake university and stay in the United States. And if it said that, then I would be like, oh, well, okay, then I don't feel as bad.
Right.
But this looks like a full-on scam setup, and then ICE covers its tracks by saying, why didn't you know that it was a scam? Well, because you lied.
Well, you said it was accredited. The accrediting, it wasn't like they just lied and said it was accredited. They teamed up with an accreditation bureau or whatever they are and got that bureau to list the school as though it were legitimate and accredited. So even those who tried to do due diligence and see, is this a real university? The website looks kind of crappy. Let's check with the accreditation bureau. Yep, looks legit. All right, here's my money.
Right, and then they kept the people's money.
That's right. The fake university is believed to have collected millions of dollars from unsuspecting students. An email from the university's president, Ali Milani, told students that graduate program's tuition is $2,500 per quarter, and the average cost is $1,000 per month. Raul Reddy, who's a Texas attorney who represented or advised some of the students who were arrested, told the Free Press, quote, the U.S. trapped the vulnerable people who just wanted to maintain a legal immigration status and preyed upon them. They made a lot of money, he said of the U.S. government. No one has filed a lawsuit or claim against the government for collecting the money or for allegedly entrapping the students. attorneys for ICE, and that's because they're too busy trying to stay in the country.
Yeah.
Those
the vulnerable ones who can't fight or hire an attorney or afford an attorney anyway.
They left. The most vulnerable just said, all right, well, I guess I have to leave now. Because they were told, oh, when they're under arrest, you know, they've been put into handcuffs, taken to some detention facility, and they were told, well, we got you for trying to go to school. You know,
what? You should have known better.
You should have known better. Now, we're going to let you choose to voluntarily leave the country. Would you like to do that, or would you like to stay here in this detention facility?
Well, I mean, this is really America on the Hill, right? This shining light on the hill showing the world what good behavior in government looks like. I mean, none of these people are going to walk away looking, you know, suggesting that the United States government is a bunch of liars and thieves.
The attorneys for ICE and the Department of Justice maintain the students should have known it was not a legitimate university because it didn't have classes in a physical location.
That's what hold on. We do that all the time. It's correspondence universities, online universities,
right.
All kinds.
University of Phoenix is one of the biggest online universities,
well,
right?
If you go back to the archive.org thing, it said campus. Like, just because you're not taking classes on campus
doesn't mean there
wasn't going to be one.
Some CPT programs have classes combined with work programs at companies. Assistant U.S. Attorney Brandon Helms wrote in a sentencing memo for one of the 8 recruiters of the hundreds of students enrolled, quote, their true intent could not be clearer. While enrolled at the university, 100% of the foreign citizen students never spent a single second in a classroom. If it were truly about obtaining an education, the university would not have been able to attract anyone because it had no teachers, classes, or educational services.
So, I enrolled. They didn't send me any information. I tried to move on. They wouldn't give me my money back, and they wouldn't let me leave because this was a government entrapment situation. I don't know what I mean. First off, the statement he makes here does not indicate whether or not they were doing online work, right? There's no statement regarding online work. So, I mean,
if you enroll in a university, surely they should have a campus for you to
some
do.
Some do, some don't. Southern New Hampshire University will give me my degree almost entirely by doing online work.
In the memo, federal prosecutor Baker said the case raises questions about the U.S.'s foreign student visa program. Baker wrote that, quote, immigration and visa programs have been hot-button topics in the U.S. for years, and national scrutiny has only been increasing, unquote. Reddy said, though, in some cases, students who transferred from the University of Farmington after realizing they didn't have classes on site were still arrested. Detroit ICE spokesperson Khalid Walls said the recruiter's sentence so far, and then they named several younger individuals who are being sentenced for recruiting, I guess. I don't quite get the recruiters.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But there's plenty of people who are students here. Right.
Hundreds of people.
Yeah, hundreds of them that they've sent off on their way after stealing their money.
This is bizarre. There's your update on the so-called University of Farmington. So I guess the lesson here is if you are an immigrant who wants to go to school to continue your educational visa, you ought to go and physically visit the location and make sure that it actually exists.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
take your chances, because who knows?
If you take your chances, you may end up getting deported.
Well, that's why. But how could you, if you were a student, right? Let's assume you're a foreign student. You may know the university system, but you don't know the intricacies and the ins and outs,
mm-hmm.
right? You go to the site, you're comparing this University of Farmington versus, you know, some other university, right? Both of them say that they have a physical location because you read the website. It said something about campuses.
Yep.
Both say you have a physical location. Both say get your degree online. Both say they're stamped with accreditation. How are you supposed to know the difference between this one and legitimate?
They even show a photograph of a building used as the fake Farmington University campus. So
how do you know?
Yeah, how could you know unless you physically went there?
Right.
And even then, it wouldn't surprise me if they had, you know, an office with some federal agent sitting up at the front to try to, you know, act as though they have some sort of physical location.
And this university is in Detroit, right? What if it's an online class? I mean, you can enroll from anywhere in the country.
Right.
What if your job as a, you know, in STEM is like in Silicon Valley, somewhere in California?
And you can't get away quickly to go and just do a campus tour.
Or there's no reason to do it, you know, because every other online university that is legitimate doesn't require it, or may require like a weekend over the summer where you have to come and do one class or whatever.
It's outrageous.
It is.
So if you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here at 855-450-FREE. If you're one of these people who supports an immigration crackdown, is this what you wanted to see? Did you want to see a crackdown on students?
They're stealing our education.
People who want to better themselves, who want to improve the quality of their lives and others by going and getting an education?
You would think that we would want in this country people who have a bachelor's degree or better, especially in things like science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But it would appear as though we don't.
Well, it's not like white kids from the U.S. want to join these fields. I mean, it's just pretty much folks from Asia and in India that really you know go after these areas.
These Indians are going to go back to India. They're going to sit in the help desk center and they're going to steal American jobs for customer support. Is what they're going to do.
That's probably true.
I don't even know what to say to that. Americans could go to India and work those help desks, and then we'd have somebody who could speak English better.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us, you can. Coming up, we'll talk about this guide for social justice warriors on how to handle Thanksgiving and other holiday dinners. So, you know, Christmas holidays and such are coming up still. So we'll get into that. Of course, you can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind here. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. Just take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Mark.
Plus, want to make sure you know about helpmetakebitcoin.com if you're ready to start accepting cryptocurrencies at your point of sale, at your business, whether it be Bitcoin or Dash or Bitcoin Cash. You can do that with helpmetakebitcoin.com. They make it super easy. There's no ridiculous paperwork requirements. There's no signing up beyond just your username and password. You don't have to give them any personal identifying information whatsoever. There's no application process or fees or waiting or paperwork, or you don't have to talk to anybody. It's super easy. And there's no fees to accept cryptocurrency through helpmetakebitcoin.com, which is amazing. It's a great site. Go there, get started. They'll walk you through the process. Even if you're completely brand new to cryptocurrency, they'll get you set up with a wallet, and you can then easily set up the AnyPay app, which is available for iOS and Android, as well as just a web browser version of it as well to help you accept cryptocurrency at your point of sale. It's super easy. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. Let's go to the phones, to the fun. Jeff is in Colorado listening to KENN. In New Mexico. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah. Yes, just right across the border.
The Four Corners.
Yeah. It's all tourist and college and Fort Lewis, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, you guys are pretty streetwise, you know. And one thing I'd refer you to, it's an old book. It was called Space by James Michener. And one of the main characters was really hilarious. And the government finally used him. And he was a fraudulent, extremely intelligent, but fraudulent degree mill, you know. And his name was Leopold Strabismus. And it's like somebody took what you're talking about straight out of that book. Mm-hmm. And There's some elements that you guys need to see. The target there was Detroit. Not the students themselves, but I think, yes, they targeted this where they trolled, where they put out their dragnet over probably India, Pakistan, that probably tended to be somewhat of a hotbed of Islamic Jihad, a la Pakistan. A guy named Chuck or Barty is.
Are you talking about in the book, or are you talking about in real life?
No, in real life. You know,
well, as I understand it, many of these students were already here in the United States at other schools.
Yeah, on student visas.
So in other words, they were targeted. Did you see that big rally that Trump had down in Houston, where everybody in this huge arena was from India?
No.
Yeah, well, and they're Indian Americans, But the Prime Minister of India came, and they were all like, Indian Americans and India are one country, and they're all the president's allies, and they're United States allies. But these people, if you have any interaction, like a yogi, it's an internet protection, you know, like Norton, you know, and it's the best in the world. And the guys in India, they are seriously the best in the world. What we're looking at is we've had Indian help targeting specific people from that area, and the link up is Detroit, because Detroit has been highly invested in by people who are not our allies.
Okay, so I'm confused. Not sure what you're trying to say here.
I mean, so
how
are these people bad actors?
It was a dragnet sting, probably by the CIA, and
okay.
They're probably using poor old Homeland Security, you know, to soak up the blame,
because
they're easy. You know, and what they're doing is basically they're trolling for our enemies. And
ridiculous! You're completely speculating.
Did we find the enemies, or I mean, how would we know as like U.S. citizens?
The thing is this is the ugly and dark thing. Once they got a hold of them, okay, they were probably interrogated. And they were probably interrogated in a very esoteric way. Not necessarily torture, but likely lots of drugs.
You're speculating that these Indian students were potential terrorists who entered the country under student visas?
What they did, they were potential, yes, that. You know, and there's a lot of Islam in India.
Pure speculation. You have no evidence whatsoever.
No, Mahatma Gandhi, for instance, was assassinated by an Islamic guy. You know what I mean? And he was everybody's friend. You know what I mean? And so this insensate, you know, thing has been going on forever, sadly.
So this is a situation where I, as a U.S. citizen, need to be able to sort of let go of any opinion on the subject and just sort of trust that
the CIA is looking out for you.
Intelligence agencies have done a good job here.
Ridiculous.
This isn't a government failure. This is just me trusting.
Now, you want him to bring him back here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Their techniques are definitely dark. You know what I mean? They totally have.
Do you support what they did?
Do I support what they did? No.
Okay.
But they're going to do it. I mean,
sure. They
are doing it. They've been doing it forever. They've been doing it to us. The CIA, actually, you can track the CIA back to Volcker and Wernher von Braun and Prescott Bush, and you go, uh-oh, it starts looking really dark. Oh,
yeah.
Are you assuming they're 100% accurate as well? Like all 250 of these poor students were CIA...
He's really breathing into that phone. I'm gonna let him go. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. So on one hand, he says he doesn't necessarily support what they were doing, but yet he believes the CIA was actually secretly running this operation, that it wasn't the Department of Homeland Security and ICE, and that it was all to go after Islamic students who were potential terrorists, which is, you know, complete speculation. There's no evidence whatsoever for this.
I'm willing to give him one, maybe two of the students might fit the definition that he's talking about here. It's interesting. It's an interesting theory. I don't imagine for a moment that because a government agency is secretive, that somehow it becomes efficient. Like, that's part of the whole, the CIA did
mythology.
This. Mythology, yeah. Right? Well, I mean, you know. There are those of us who've been in the military. We know that it's an extraordinarily inefficient organization. We've been to the DMV. We know it's extraordinarily inefficient. We know that the post office is a mess,
yeah.
And that the people who work for it generally pretty darn unhappy. We can go through government agency after government agency, and sometimes you'll get this. Well, you know, if the United States government has revealed the technology that they have, that they've probably had it for 20 years. They keep all the super secret stuff secret for a long time, and their technology is far beyond ours. I don't believe that. That sounds like nonsense. These are the people that pay $500 for an ashtray, $700 for a hammer. No, their technology isn't better than ours. It's just a lot more expensive.
So if what that caller was saying was actually true, and they actually were purposefully trying to, you know, troll for potential terrorists or actual terrorists or whatever, suspected terrorists, most assuredly, the headlines would be crowing about, they would put out a press release, and they would say, We found Amin Ahmad at this fake university that we put up because we knew we were going to get terrorists. That's what the whole point of it was. Look at all these terrorists that we picked up here. Mr. Amin, you know, Bahakdadi or whatever. They would have named names and they would have said, they would have been bragging about it.
I want to apologize to all our Muslim listeners for whatever the hell Ian just said.
But that's why I asked if they were 100% effective. Because if not, they get the couple of terrorists.
Even if they were
1%
effective, we would have heard about the 1%.
Sure. Yeah.
Instead, it's just, oh, you guys... You know, broke the law. You can go home now.
It's
okay, bye.
Ian.
We'll take your money. We'll take your millions of dollars. Thanks. Bye. We're coming up.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Live Sunday show with you tonight. It's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Mark.
What is a t-shirt? Is it just another piece of cloth that keeps you from being cold and naked? We think a t-shirt's a way to connect with others, a way to communicate and share your beliefs. Do you like to promote liberty? Is your torso lacking adequate coverage? Are you shivering into cold, lonely nights? LibertyMinded.com has durable, soft, comfortable apparel like t-shirts, hoodies, and knit beanies for everyone that promote principled, liberty-minded messaging to let you immediately connect and show the world what you believe in. Plus, this weekend, LibertyMinded.com is running the biggest sale they've ever had at 30% off almost everything in the store. There's some really cool liberty-friendly, liberty-oriented phrase, you know, designs on the site. They look great. They're well done, and they're great quality products as well. Plus, you can pick up a Free Talk Live hoodie as low as $21. And that's down from, like, I think they used to be like $35 or $36. So pretty big discount on the Free Talk Live hoodie, which once these hoodies sell out, they're never coming back.
They're not back. Coming back, yeah.
Head over to Liberty
I've
Minded.
I've had several of them. They just keep disappearing.
LibertyMinded.com now and take a look at what's available. It's LibertyMinded.com.
I really want a black and yellow Santa hat. Find
there
one of those.
Are knit caps, I think he has.
Yeah, there
those.
Are knit caps over there. Yeah. One that has, there's one that might fit the description of what you're talking about. It says Free Talk Live on it, but it's closer than.
It's not a Santa hat, though, but it's.
Well, if Santa didn't have a little pom-pom at the
bottom. Right, you got to have the pom-pom, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we continue. You can bring up what you want. We're going to get into this story, Richie, that you have to share. What's the source on this?
Okay, so the original place that I found
Teen
it was...
Vogue?
Right. So I found the story
Teen
referenced...
Vogue?
Yes. I was not perusing Teen Vogue.
Did you get this from Joe Biden?
No, it was... Yeah. I found it on Zero
Too
Hedge.
Too old for Joe.
I found it on Zero Hedge, who referenced the article. So let me give you the Zero Hedge headline first. Your social justice warrior guide to challenge bigoted relatives during the holidays.
Okay, what's a Teen Vogue
Do people
headline?
Actually call themselves social justice warriors?
I doubt it.
I thought know. That was a disparaging remark.
Yeah, I think it is.
Right. So just
calling me a libtard.
Zero Hedge is disparaging towards that group.
Right. Oh, so the title of the article isn't social justice. Okay.
It is your responsibility to challenge bigoted relatives over the holidays.
That's the title of Teen Vogue.
Okay, before we go any farther, not to say that I won't, but how did this responsibility become incumbent upon me?
Because they wrote the article, told you so.
Right. Some social justice warrior wrote an article and said that it's important that I must go on and carry on whatever little war that is that they wish to push forward.
Which is why it's important that the original source is Teen Vogue, because it shows you what the target audience for this rhetoric is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is a bad idea, and here's the reason. You're at some point or another, your teen social justice warrior is going to run up on, and probably not terribly too terribly infrequently, run up on somebody who has more facts in their possession than they do. So let's say
the rich
you're
white
dealing
uncle around the same table
with bigoted Uncle Charlie, right? And, you know, Uncle Charlie drops the N-bomb at the Thanksgiving table. And then little, you know, little Susie with the pierced septum.
Purple hair.
Right. And the black eyeliner and the purple hair says, "My God, you can't say that. That's terribly bigoted." And then Uncle, did I say Charlie?
Yes, you did.
Okay, Charlie says, "Oh, yeah? Well, here's 1, 2, 3 statistics that say, in fact, we said the N-bomb, black people are bad," right? And then little, was it Susie?
Sure.
Susie doesn't have any more information.
Well, that's when she screams and throws the turkey across the table.
That's what happens.
Has a freak out. Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're going to fight a battle of wits, you need weapons. And sadly, teenagers are generally unarmed.
Well, that's the purpose of this article, is to arm them with information.
Well, let's hear
right?
it.
All right. The dinner table is one of the most sacred places in the household. For many families, it is the place where difficult conversations, delicate family dynamics, and restorative fellowship all come together. These complex events come to a head here because the dinner table is a safe place.
I don't know what any of this means.
It's not safe. There's knives around.
Often during the holidays, the dinner table feels so safe that many family members are comfortable uttering their most racist, transphobic, queer antagonistic, misogynistic, and generally ugly ideas over the turkey and cranberry sauce.
Oh, here we go with transphobic. So, yeah, little Susie's really going to be unarmed when she's dealing with somebody who says that there are two genders, right? Because it's a demonstrably true statement, and everything else beyond that is a belief.
It's a social construct.
That gender's a social construct?
I'm not going to get into
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Okay. It looks remarkably like it's reality.
Some white people who see themselves as non-racial will just play nice instead of clapping back directly at these problematic family members. This year, consider doing something different.
They really said problematic. Okay, go ahead.
Let's start with the history. 1954, the Brown versus Board of Education decision of the Supreme Court of the United States declared separate but equal doctrine unconstitutional. This formally ended segregation in the United States, integrating public schools, lunch counters, water fountains, buses, and all other public spaces in the country. But these legal changes didn't fundamentally change the structures of discrimination and segregation in the United States. Even though black-white segregation may be decreasing over time, research
Which
shows...
Which is a good thing.
But research shows that white Americans still actively engage in white flight, or moving away from the neighborhoods with non-white populations.
It probably has more to do with the crime than anything else, but okay.
Well, where does that crime stem from, Mark?
I don't know where the crime comes from. I mean, you know, are black people or Hispanics arrested more often than whites? Well, in the case of Hispanics, if they are younger, and they tend to be, they are going to be arrested more often. In the case of blacks, yeah, sadly, the numbers, you know, show that blacks are arrested far more often than whites. That doesn't mean they commit more crimes, but it shows arrests. And, you know, you can't blame somebody for wanting to live in a safe neighborhood. I think everybody wants that.
Sure.
And by the way, there tends to be more dangerous neighborhoods based on the sort of the economic strata.
Exactly.
Right? So, like,
100%.
I've been in trailer parks before with a bunch of white people, and they did not seem like safe places to be hanging out.
Yes, it's all class, but nobody who's writing an article like this is going to have mm-hmm. that conversation.
Well, to the contrary, then the last part of that sentence is especially if they're middle class. So they say that middle class is the most likely to do the white flight thing and
okay.
get out of the bad neighborhoods. These divisions have important implications for
income
and wealth
distribution. So people who aren't of a class, if the neighborhood is going down as far as class-wise, they may leave it.
I suspect that black people who are middle class would like
probably
to
leave
a bad neighborhood, too.
Well, they leave the bad neighborhood, and then they go into the white neighborhood because it's safer, and then the whites leave the white neighborhood.
That's what they claim, right. But I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either. As writer Ta-Nehisi Coates noted in a 2014 article in The Atlantic, the average per capita income of Chicago's white neighborhoods is almost three times that of its black neighborhoods. Neighborhood segregation means that many white Americans don't see many non-white people as members of their communities, and certainly not as their next-door neighbors.
Yeah.
White Americans also isolate in their social groups. As research has found, they are the group least likely to have diverse friends and peers. According to a 2016 analysis from the Public Religion Research Institute, the average white American has a network of friends that's 91% white, combined 8% is black, Asian, Latinx, mixed race, and they went Latinx there.
Okay.
Mixed race, other, and an unknown racial background.
I bet that's because a lot of white people, in part, a lot of white people just don't have, people of color in their workplace or in their neighborhoods or the places that they go. A lot of times friendship is based on proximity.
That's been my experience.
And, you know, sometimes you don't have those choices.
The toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If you want to weigh in on this discussion about Thanksgiving / Christmas time, whatever, big family gatherings.
Holiday dinner.
Uncomfortable conversations. You can do that. 855-450-FREE. Maybe you want to tell us about what happened to you this year. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We're in the live Sunday edition of the program, and you can bring up anything that you want. With you here tonight in the studio is Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Mark.
We're talking about Thanksgiving dinners and such, and you know what to do with family members that are saying things that are inappropriate, how to respond. At least this is what Teen Vogue is saying, and we may or may not agree with their assessment here. But let's actually go to
I think
Discord.
It's a good idea to call out people saying stuff. I just want to make that clear.
Well, yeah. They cited a study, too. So
I don't know that teenagers calling them out is the best idea.
Well, it's saying nobody else is calling them out, so you ought to do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that.
Sending in the most poorly qualified to do the job.
Well, who knows, Mark? I mean, a lot of young people are pretty intelligent, and maybe they have done some research. And not that you have to do research to be able to call out somebody who's being a racist. But let's go to Turd Ferguson. He's on the line on our Discord server. Go ahead, Turd.
Yeah, hey, guys. I hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving and all that stuff. Sure. Let me go ahead and tell you my piece, and then I guess after that you guys can tell me what you guys think about it. So I have somebody you guys know, actually a thing or two about to talk about tonight, Sam Cedar, who I find to be a little bit problematic in a couple ways.
This is a liberal sort of media personality, Sam Cedar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's been here on the show, actually.
We've had him on years ago, once.
Yeah, I find this guy to be a little bit problematic. I think he is he's really the last brain, I think, that's holding the Progressive Party together, it sounds like, from what I've
seen. Isn't he just like a YouTube guy now? What does he do?
I think he might do a radio show too, but I can't
find
when it broadcasts.
I don't think he does anymore.
Yeah, well, I can't find when it broadcasts.
Air America's been off the air for like 10 years.
Oh, well, Air America. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he was on that.
Yeah, with Janine Garofalo.
They had her on for like a minute. She didn't last.
Yeah, well, she's not. She's worth about as much as a radio host as she was as an actress and a comedian. But Sam Cedar.
I thought some of her movies were pretty funny. The older ones.
Yeah, I thought she was a fine actress, but there's a completely different skill set from being an actor and being a talk show host.
I got you.
Sure. Well, that's what Sam Cedar is too, and I actually like this guy in as an actor. Like he's on Bob's Burgers. I've seen him a couple times, and I think he's pretty funny on that show. But how I find this guy to be potentially problematic is that he really is the last brains that's holding the Progressive Party together. And because you look at some of the other ones, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she just looks ridiculously stupid all the time. And then you look at some of the other ones like Bernie Sanders, and he's I guess, you know, what they would call an intellectual, but he looks insane to most people. Like he looks like the crazy Christopher Lloyd guy to most people.
Doc Brown.
But then. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's to most people. That's what he looks like. But then you go to Sam Cedar, who's actually well-spoken and can hold an argument together for 2 seconds. But for some reason, there are a lot of libertarians that are really not very good at debating this guy.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's I think it's really stupid because I've seen, after watching this guy a few times, I think I've seen the way to actually beat this guy, and all you have to do is just compile a bunch of data, it looks like, for your opinion, and then just call in and have that data ready, because it sounds like his whole argument's based on data. He never wants to debate conceptually or anything like that. He just wants to find liberally biased data in his favor to debate with.
Yeah, the data thing is the funniest, for me, and the most difficult, because we are, whomever you are, you have data that is sort of aimed at you. You look at it, it's really motivating. It's like, how in the world could anybody possibly believe anything that isn't what I believe? Because look at the data. It obviously supports my position. But this is true for everybody in every position. And somehow we don't see their data. And they don't see ours, and then there's, you know, three and four and five different sets.
Well, you can even look
at
the same set of data and come to a different conclusion as well.
Yeah, also that much is true, too. And so it's really kind of bizarre using the data. I would love to use data. I would love to look at data and come up with the right solution to all human problems. And I'm willing to be wrong on the notion that the state is always a bad idea if the data were to support it. But as soon as I think it does, then I find data that flies in the face of the data that I thought was completely unassailable.
Well, which is also why I personally don't have all the data, right? It's like the libertarian homework assignment, right? They say something, and then you have to go research it and come up with the opposing point.
Right.
And I go, no, just stick with the principles of the matter.
Right. You can always make the moral point, which is it possible that we could run a society without all the force and violence? Is it possible?
Yeah.
And then if the answer to that is no, then I guess we need force and violence. But if the answer to that is, oh, maybe, then perhaps we should be able to try it. And I got an idea. Maybe you don't have to try it because you don't like the idea, but maybe the people who want to try it should be allowed to do that instead of having the cops come over and shut them down or take their property or throw them in jail or do whatever variety of things they did. I mean, this is the hallmark of somebody who really does not want to see what the evidence is on the other side. The reason we don't have competing ideas, the reason that the argument from ignorance, which is a logical fallacy that says that, well, if this were a good idea, then how come it doesn't exist? Well, if libertarianism is a good idea, why hasn't it been tried someplace? Well, I got an answer. Because people in power like power, and people in power like money, and they get their money from having power, so they don't want to give it up. And if somebody supports that, then they're supporting the tyrants, the petty tyrants and the despots. And all I'm saying is that, hey, I may not agree with the libertarians on every single issue, but they certainly should be able to buy a piece of land and try out what they're doing. And until they buy a piece of land, they're going to keep trying a bunch of different things. And nobody out there, liberal or conservative, wants to let the libertarians buy a piece of land and build their own libertarian city.
Well, because if you let the freedom motto flourish, right, then other people will want to follow that model, and there goes their money and their power.
That could be the reason.
Could be.
Maybe it's just completely immoral. But I don't know. The only way we'll ever know is if they have this. The only problem with the idea is if somehow libertarians station guards, this makes no sense, around their city and say, you can't leave once you come in. And then no one would come in anyway because there's guards stationed around. Who wants to pass the Berlin Wall to go to try out freedom?
So according to the Wikipedia article about Sam Seder, his show, The Majority Report, actually used to be hosted by both he and Janine Garofalo. And that was back when it was on Air America. Garofalo left the show. They had a split because apparently Garofalo promoted a Scientology-linked treatment program for firefighters and rescue workers in New York City, to which Garofalo responded to Seder's opposition, suggesting that he would not have had a problem with the program if it were linked to Jewish people rather than Scientologists. And Seder, who is Jewish, and his producer walked off the set in angry protests.
Wow.
Apparently that was the beginning of the end for them. Of course, Air America.
I mean,
see, unable to have a discussion on religion.
Imagine think about right now some of the knockdown, drag out arguments that Ian and I have had throughout the years. And this little petty stuff, like, you know, one of them likes Scientology, the other one doesn't. They just can't get along.
It's opposing religions, Mark.
So then
I took landmark education. Ian called it a cult.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun conversation. So he left, but then it became his show because she left, ultimately, the show, and Air America went out of business. He then relaunched the program in 2010 as a podcast. He apparently now has his own YouTube channel with over 700,000 subscribers, so it appears to be working for him.
So where do you find that the libertarians go astray when arguing with him? Is it because they just don't have the data?
Well, so that's a great question. And actually, Mark touched on a bunch of the things that he would have. See, he has a few tactics up his sleeve. He'll go for the data. Then he'll ask at some point in the argument where the place is on Earth for you guys to go. And when he says he means you guys, he means libertarians, which there currently is none. So that's a hard question for us to answer.
If I were to tell Sam Cedar, he'd ring up his people in the liberal government and go find that place and shut it down.
Yeah, right. And we could talk about we could talk about the seasteading that's being planned in French Polynesia and all those.
I'll tell him this. I know where private cities are. That's what libertarianism is. The libertarianism is the ability to try your different ideas. It doesn't necessarily have to be liberty, but there are private cities all over the place. Resorts, cruise ships, you know, every one of these things. I can give you examples. This argument from ignorance crap just doesn't work with me, but I do this for a living.
I think you give the guy too much credit. I mean, he's just another liberal with a YouTube channel. What makes him any more or less important than, say, the Young Turks?
Because the Young Turks report to him. The Young Turks report to him.
All right, there's more coming up here. Thanks, Turd. Appreciate it. This is Free Talk Live. Hour 3 is next.
Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules contain 100% fine-ripened fruits and vegetables. Tested pure with no pesticides, fillers, or additives of any kind. And are the most effective whole food supplements on the market today. Fruits and vegetables are on an average 85% water. Balance of Nature uses cold vacuum technology to remove the water, leaving only the whole food. We don't use any heat, air, or light drying methods that damage nutrients. Our cold vacuum technology maintains 99% of the fresh fruits and vegetables' original nutritional value. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we will take an additional 35% off of your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code FTL.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free and join us here. The number's 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Mark.
And Richie, you've been sharing with us a story from Teen Vogue, which is instruction on how to handle conversations at the dinner table, specifically with maybe ignorant family members who say things that are perhaps racist or insensitive or offensive or whatever.
Transphobic.
And they're saying, hey, you know, you need to stand up for your beliefs and don't just sit there and let this crap go by. And I don't disagree with that viewpoint. I can understand why some people would want to keep quiet at the dinner table. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to upset the family. But at the same time, I also respect people who don't stay quiet.
I will say this in support of the article, that you got to lose a few to win a few. The idea of sending teenagers out to have a battle of wits with an adult, to me, seems ill-advised. But at some point in life, you got to lose arguments to start winning them.
You're also not going. The person you're going to argue with is not going to consider you a winner at any point. Doesn't matter what you say.
Right.
It doesn't matter what facts you have at your disposal.
It almost never works. Now, I do have some. First off, I don't think that's true, Ian. I think that you can keep a smile on your face, and that you can phrase things in such a way that it's not a combat to the death, where one has to win and one has to lose.
Well, part of what Ian said is kind of the impetus for the whole okay boomer movement going on right now.
Yes. Right?
No matter what you say to that generation of people, they will counter with whatever facts that they have, completely disregard the points that you're making, and then you have nothing to respond to them with except, okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer.
Because it's not worth, let's move on. It's not worth rehashing anything.
Pass the potatoes.
Not, right.
I think that... Well, I disagree. I'm going to disagree completely with you guys.
Okay,
there's
boomer.
Always something you can say. I'm a Gen Xer, and you can go to hell. No, I mean, there's always something you can say. So, what was the Uncle Charlie says? Yeah, well, there was a robbery down on 32nd Street, and it was a black guy, right? Right. Okay. So there's your statement. That hangs in the air. And of course, the robbery was a black guy because Uncle Charlie checked.
Right.
And you can say, well, Uncle Charlie, what do you mean exactly by that? And then you get him into then he's got to take his position, right?
Statistically speaking, people...
if a black male between the ages of 14 and 24 is four times, I'm just making this up, people, I don't know the numbers, more likely to commit a crime than a white guy who's 37 years old, whatever Uncle Charlie is, right? And so he makes the statement. And you say, well, that's probably true, Uncle Charlie, but you're not saying that every black man between the ages of 14 and 24 is some kind of criminal, are you?
But they're more likely to be, though, based on the statistics.
Okay. I'm not saying that that's not true, but... I am asking, a question.
Sure.
The best I've been able to tell is a black man in that age group is, there's only one in five black men. So that means four in five aren't.
Well, child, just wait until you get out into the real world and you'll see these things for yourself.
Well, all I can do is look at the statistics. Can you tell me exactly what the real world looks like? Because I think, from what I've read, that a black kid between the ages of 14 and 24 is... four times more likely to not be a felon than he is to be one.
So in the real world, you will notice that when someone robs a liquor store, it's a safe bet to assume that it is a black guy doing it.
I wonder if it's because liquor stores tend to be in black neighborhoods.
Could be.
Are we talking about liquor stores here? Or are we talking about felonies in general?
What's the point of this conversation?
I don't know, but I think that you can have a conversation that puts the person in a position where they have to admit that they are... perhaps making a broad generalization.
I think that's all statistics.
But he didn't
though.
Admit it. In this theoretical conversation, your sure. opponent never admitted that.
I'm just saying. I've had these conversations. I've managed to smile my way through them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's possible.
Okay. Let's go on with the advice here from Teen Vogue.
All right. So I'll retract a little bit. Public Religion Research Institute. The average white American has a network of friends 91% white, 8% black, Asian, Latinx, mixed race, and or unknown racial backgrounds. Black Americans, on average, have a friend network 83% black, 8% white, 2% Latinx, no Asians, and roughly 7% that's mixed.
So what was it, 90 what to 83%?
91 to 83%.
Well, a staggering difference here.
Almost 9%, 8%.
I can't believe that a black person in the United States, that they don't have white friends. They're 1/12 of the percent of the population?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be difficult not to.
Not only are white Americans often isolated by race where they live, they are unlikely to be surrounded by friends and loved ones who are non-white.
From their statistics, it sounds like black Americans are just almost as likely to be isolated too.
Well, but you're right. But they broke out the statistics even further for the alternate. Whites, 8% was combined, black, Asian, Latinx, so on and so forth. For black folks, it was 8% white, and then 2% was broken out for Latinx, and 7% mixed other. So slightly different.
Not right. a huge
not
discrepancy.
A huge, I'm not saying it's statistically.
Yeah. It's comparing large oranges to smaller oranges?
Yeah.
All right.
If anti-racist white people do not muster up the courage to challenge their bigoted family members this holiday season, no one else will be there to do it.
I think that as generations die, you just get further along in this process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my grandmother, everything that was great about her, God rest her soul, she's a bit of a bigot. And I think that's probably true with a lot of people's grandmothers.
I don't think mine was bigoted. She never gave any kind of clue that she would have carried some sort of negativity, but she did call black people colored. I mean, she's just from that time.
That's nothing wrong with that.
You know?
I mean, there's the NAACP.
Yeah, National Association of Colored People.
Right, and the United Negro College Fund used to be a thing, too. I mean, that was the terminology previously.
So your grandmother said things that were bigoted, that were, like, overtly.
Yeah. Yep.
My grandfather, too, would say things, and, you know, when as kids, we go, well, that seems out of place. He'd go, well, that's just the way we talked as kids, right? It was okay to use those racial slurs even back then. Well, even if you were friends with the guy you were talking to.
Maybe it's my prison upbringing, but I don't think that somebody chooses to use a racial slur necessarily makes them a bigot. I think it can be an indication of it,
right.
But, I mean, people use racial slurs all the time. Right. Ian's original last name before he changed it to Freeman was French. If I called him a frog for the fun of it, I mean, the likelihood of me doing that, he doesn't identify at all with his heritage. But if I did, it would be as a joke,
right,
not as any kind of slight.
Right. And my grandfather wasn't saying it was a slight. He said, like, that's just the way you addressed even people close to you.
Yeah.
Right? It was okay.
Yeah. I don't think that – I'm not willing to say that a racial slur is a direct indication of – somebody being a bigot.
But what you are saying is that over generations, that you think that these issues will go away naturally because there's more race mixing over time? Is that what you're getting at?
I just think that it's less in vogue.
I'm afraid that with future generations, it's going to go like completely the other way, right?
Well,
because of the whole social justice movement, right? Things that aren't racist, right? I was talking to a friend. I said, there's a difference between being racist and being aware of racial differences, right? I can be aware of racial differences and not be a racist. But with you know, like Teen Vogue and other outlets like that, it seems that being aware of racial differences is being categorized as racist. So we're no longer able to speak the facts or the truth or even recognize the differences between races for fear of being considered a racist.
I don't find racial differences to be a particularly useful bit of knowledge. I mean, sure, you can say the NBA is largely black. So what? That doesn't mean that the average black guy out there is going to beat the average white guy in basketball.
Right,
okay?
But recognizing that is becoming taboo, right?
But I don't think that – I understand that it's becoming taboo, but I think that you should look at the individual, and it doesn't particularly matter what color that individual is when you're having that conversation.
I'm with you. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. We'll continue with more of this advice from Teen Vogue. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll free. Bring up what you want. The number's 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. That's where you can jump in and sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. It sounds great. And also, the Discord server's there around the clock, so you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners anytime, pretty much, of the day or the night. It's discord.lrn.fm.
Remember when Obama said, if you liked your coverage, you could keep it? And then in comes Obamacare, and all the coverage prices go up, and you don't get to keep your coverage. Well, it feels really disempowering, and you're like, I've got to pay all this money. Turns out you don't necessarily have to pay all that money for that coverage. What you should do is check out betterplans.net, because they've got a better way to do health insurance, and it is health insurance. You can call them at 800-714-1802 and get a fast and free quote. But you can get lower coverage. Let me give you some ideas. They've got plans for as little as $145 per month. I mean, these sound like numbers from 15 years ago. And that's for a single. There's even greater savings for families and businesses. They've got a free ebook that you can start your journey on if you wish. It's called Dirty Little Secrets. It's available at betterplans.net. And they've got pricing plans there that are every bit as good as any major providers. You're not missing out on anything. These are just better plans, indemnity plans that are designed for you. Again, their ebook, Dirty Little Secrets, available at betterplans.net. The Obamacare enrollment deadline is December the 15th, so you don't want to delay on this. Visit betterplans.net, or give them a call. I'll give you the number again here, 800-714-1802, betterplans.net, 800-714-1802.
All right, we continue here. We're sharing a story from Teen Vogue, which was linked to by Zero Hedge in a headline proclaiming that this was instructions for folks who might be described as social justice warriors to duke it out with family members at the Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner tables. And we're going to get further into the story here. Mark, I want to go to Dana on the line in Michigan first, though. She's calling, listening to TKG in Grand Rapids. Hello, Dana.
Hi, guys. This is what I have to say about all of this. Anything coming from Teen Vogue, the regular Vogue, Vanity Fair, Harper's Bazaar, Glamour, any of these fashion magazines, I would find highly suspect and would diligently check their sources. These people are so dim-witted, they can't even follow their own business model, which is they're supposed to be writing about fashion, because guess what? It's a fashion magazine.
Well, challenging bigots is in fashion these days.
If that much is true.
Well, during the Obama administration, they decided not to put their big toe in the pool, but to jump in head first and turn it into an activist magazine. The physical Teen Vogue does not exist anymore. They had
really?
To shut it down. Yeah, it went out of business because girls don't want to read about Black Lives Matter and all the other.
Well, now, wait a minute. That's not the reason. By the way, Teen Vogue describes itself as the latest in celebrity news, politics, fashion, beauty, wellness, lifestyle, and entertainment. So it's not just a fashion magazine.
It expanded.
But what really happened, I'm sure, is that teenagers don't want to read magazines, period. I mean, when's the last time you saw a teenager with a newspaper or a magazine in their hands?
Well,
I mean, that doesn't happen.
If it's a fashion magazine, they'll buy it for the photos, not necessarily for the articles. So,
when was the last time you saw a teenager buy a fashion magazine for any purpose?
I haven't seen a newsstand in a long time, but I suspect they're just generally smaller than they used to be. I think that magazines
they are
gone.
But that's not why it went under. It went under because they strayed from the business model that served them for over a century since fashion magazines have existed. And I have a couple more things I want to make a point.
All right.
The people who write these dumb girls that go to New York, when they are writing about fashion, and I won't say the F word because that's not part of who I am, but they end so many sentences with, I'll give you an example without using the F word. They'll say, the new color blue is cool AF.
Okay.
With uppercase A and an uppercase F.
Right.
This is a generation. Remember, guys, this is a generation who thinks the F word is an adjective, a noun, a verb, and an adverb. Mm-hmm. They don't think anything of using this in a mall around families or children.
Good for
in
them.
Regular discourse and writing about it. There's one last point
I'll
want to make.
I'll use that word around children.
I think it's awful.
They were talking about the word bigot. Have you guys noticed as independents, and I told you I teeter, I'm conservative and independent blended, that everybody is a bigot if you know the definition of bigot. It's people who shut down other, who will not listen to any other opinion. Mm. Who's not listening? The people who are pro-climate change, who believe we're going to die in 12 years. The people who are Antifa. They're the biggest fascist bigots around. Everybody else is a bigot if you don't not only agree with their point, but you must be an avid promoter.
Well, because if you don't support anti-fascism, you're a fascist.
Anything coming from most of the millennials, and especially in these joke online magazines or even the hardcover ones, I totally discount, and you guys should too.
Thank you, Dana. Appreciate hearing from you, and thanks for your thoughts here tonight. Yeah, I'm not saying that I take Teen Vogue seriously in any way, shape, or form, but it is an interesting discussion to have, and I am curious to hear what, you know, their perspective is.
Another aspect of this that hasn't been touched on in this conversation is the sort of, as Barack Obama recently said, that call-out culture isn't activism. So one thing when we have, and we're using Little Susie and Uncle Charlie in this example here, Little Susie, the Teen Vogue reader, may interpret a conversation between adults as bigoted that isn't. Sure. And we were just talking in the break about Polack jokes, and you said over in Hawaii these jokes are called what?
Portuguese jokes. Portuguese.
In Canada, they're called Newfie jokes, Newfin people from Newfoundland. And there's a variety of these out there. And
meaning the jokes are all the same, but they just use a different word.
Right. A different blonde is another one.
Blonde, yeah. A lot of these Polack jokes, you could use blondes.
And
how do you get a one-armed Polack out of a tree? I mean, come on.
Wave.
You could easily.
Wave.
Right. And, you know, one thing I was noticing when we were talking about these jokes is I just don't hear jokes anymore. Nobody tells jokes anymore.
But you talk about how the internet's the funniest thing and you laugh way more often. There's plenty of jokes online.
Right, but the jokes have certainly changed. So, you know, the old jokes, you just don't hear them anymore. And I think it's because, largely, it's basically you can't say anything without making somebody angry.
There's more coming up here. Whether you want to talk about offensive jokes or dinner time conversation, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms as well. Jump into discord.lrn.fm, and you can join us on the radio. This is Free Talk Live.
Anarchapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists, held in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. Share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state. Their unparalleled lineup of speakers will discuss entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships. Stay in a world-class resort and enjoy the sun and beaches. February the 13th through the 16th, visit anarchapulco.com for early bird pricing and 10% off with coupon code FTL.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here.
The still reading naughty jokes
still
there.
Reading Polish jokes.
I can't believe you're sitting here chuckling over Polish jokes.
855 450. I was saying I haven't heard them in a long time, so I had to go look for them online. Somebody has a nice little catalog of them here. 855-450 free like freedom. It's Ian with you.
Richie Rich.
And Mark.
And Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform over the summer. It was at local.bitcoin.com. It's a place where you can go to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods. It's a global trading platform that actually respects your privacy. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and to use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. I've used it a bunch of times now. I think I've got like more than 20 trades under my belt now. So you can, Aria, our Monday Night co-host, she just cracked 300 trades. She's the number one trader on nice. local.bitcoin.com, last I heard. So check it out. Over
Don't get
at,
in her way.
local.bitcoin.com. So yeah, you can use a bunch of different payment methods. If you're going to sell there, make sure you do your due diligence and figure out what are the risks of the different methods you would like to use. If you're a buyer and you want to buy safely, buy from somebody like Aria or somebody who, you know, has some reputation under their belt. If you're going with somebody who has no sales, then you're taking a little bit of a risk. But if you're going with people who've got some trades under their belt, then it's pretty safe. Check it out at local.bitcoin.com. Two Polish hunters were driving through the country to go bear hunting. They came upon a fork in the road where a sign read, "Bear left." So they went home. Let's go.
You're right. That's good.
Let's go to Dissident on our Discord lines. Calling from Virginia. Go ahead, Dissident.
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say, Thanksgiving can be kind of tough. You can have a lot of conversations. Sometimes you like them, even when they're, you know, contentious, but your uncle, what was it, Uncle Charlie? It's not stereotype. It can also be a younger person too. So it's those ideas aren't just going away, unfortunately, just by dying out.
I just want to know, was your turkey halal?
It was actually.
Yeah,
yeah.
How do you make a halal turkey?
You don't strangle it.
You buy it. Yeah, at the There's a place you can go get it. But yeah, what I want to talk about first of all is
Are you organizing things on your desk there?
I thought it was eating chips.
Pretty noisy.
No, it's sorry, it's a wrapper. I'm gonna try not to
put
touch
it down.
Is it a halal candy bar?
No, got a sandwich here. But first of all, I'm almost entirely like 99% sure Gandhi, actually I am 100% sure because I would know this. Gandhi wasn't killed by a Muslim guy. I'm pretty sure he was killed by a Hindu nationalist.
Really?
He was actually upset. I believe he was killed by a Hindu nationalist that was upset then.
You're referring to a caller from earlier who made that claim.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was killed by a guy that was upset that he was conciliatory to Muslims instead of trying to make it, you know, after partition and try to make it they made it a secular state instead of like a Hindu nationalist state, it's pretty much fully transformed into a Hindu nationalist state now. I mean,
he also claimed that Gandhi was loved by everyone, and wasn't Gandhi like racist towards certain groups of people? That's what I heard.
I think that might have been the Discord. Yeah, I mean, he was didn't said some nasty things about blacks earlier in his career, and
he's not a saint.
Got a lot of other problems too. His images, but also his image is kind of hurt because Hindu nationalists have really risen in India in the past 20 years. Really, almost not unheard of, but I don't think they were very important. It was a pretty secular country and a kind of a socialist country, and now they're going very capitalist, but also very nationalist. And I mean, putting any kind of nationalism in the U.S. to shame, we're talking about outright. There are Muslim people, for example, being lynched just on suspicion of eating cows, which I mean, wow. Which they don't typically do over there. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad. There's all kinds of different, you know, there's actually been a lot of communal violence over there. But you have it kind of outright supported by the government, and you have people in the government that have, you know, kind of, you know, stood the police down, and when these riots have occurred and everything. So, that guy was basically writing a Tom Clancy novel. There's no evidence of any of the things he said at all, and it's so obviously explained in other ways. Because you know, there's a lot more Indian people here than most people think. I mean, not with roots here. I mean, coming
Indian
over
people in the United States.
I mean, huge wings of big corporations. Deloitte, for example. I mean, they have just entire departments and stuff staffed with Indian MBA holders, you know, tech degrees and stuff. So, I mean, there's no shortage of people from India with these degrees or seeking these degrees that are looking to come over here.
The more the merrier.
Yeah,
absolutely. Bring them on. Hey, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, that's all. I kind of wanted to correct that. I'm pretty sure I remember if a Muslim guy killed Gandhi, but that's actually quite a different story behind
it. Very good. Thanks for the clarification. I appreciate it. That's Dissident calling in on our Discord lines, and you can join and sound that good. All you got to do is hop on our Discord server.
Or he's not eating a sandwich during the...
That's true, yeah. Try not to fiddle with things that make noise. I get it, though. People like to fidget with whatever. That's why your headphones get tangled up sometimes, Mark, because Vincent's into fiddling with those. I talked to him about it. He said he was going to find something new.
A fidget spinner.
Well, we have the magnets, which can sometimes be noisy. But anyway, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Where are we on this Teen Vogue story?
Still on the problem with whiteness. These forms of isolation means that many white Americans don't have to confront racial differences in their personal and daily lives. Because of white privilege, many of them... can simply opt out of difficult conversations that challenge internalized stereotypes or beliefs about people who aren't like them. These attitudes are shaped from an early age.
They really believe at this magazine that white people are all the same, don't they? I mean, it almost sounds like they're just applying this broad brush to, well, everybody who's white must be like this. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, this is the real danger with this sort of thinking, is the last thing that these people who are writing stuff like this really want is for white people in this country to begin thinking like a monolith. Because it's simply not true. I don't think of myself as white. I think of I just don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. But if white people were to think like that, you don't want the team mentality going in this particular direction. It did that at one point, and it wasn't good.
Where was I? These attitudes are shaped from an early age, as University of Rhode Island history professor Eric Loomis put in a recent piece in the Boston Review when citing a study of white school children in a specific town in the Midwest. Almost none develop a meaningful critique of structural racism, question their own privilege, or think seriously about how to combat racial prejudice.
Yeah, this is the thing about privileges is that, you know, somebody besides you gets to define what it is. Mm. So, you know, like, for instance, in talking about privilege, I'm a middle-aged guy, and I'm probably would be called white by some people. Obviously, not 100% white. Not a lot of people are. But, yeah, I can see why somebody would call me white when they look at me. And I've been reasonably successful, right? Nationally syndicated talk show host. Mm-hmm. And then I say to that, well, hey, I was incarcerated for 8 years, and I'm actually part of a group that it's legal to discriminate against.
Felons.
And look how far your white privilege has brought you out of that.
And that's exactly the response to that statement, is look at that. You are able to rise above your felonhood because of your whiteness, whitey. Shut up, honky. Move to the, you know, and stop yakking. Adults are talking here. Mm. To which I then ask, well, what about, say, an immigrant coming from another country who has to learn the language? Imagine being that. Imagine being a white immigrant coming to this country. Which is better, to be an English-speaking black guy in the United States or, an immigrant who can't speak the language? Because lots of immigrants come here and do well. What's that say about privilege?
That it's still based on whiteness if the immigrants come here and are white and do well.
Well, I would say that I would prefer to be a young white man or young black man that can speak English well than an immigrant coming here with $100 in their pocket.
Maybe true, till you get pulled over by the cops. Mm. They may oppose overt racism. But
I think, by the way, when it comes to the cops, that it has a lot to do with sort of garb and demeanor and things like that, that, you know, in those situations.
Garb as in the way the black folks are dressed while driving around in their automobile?
People are dressed. I can tell you that the fireman's helmet in the back seat of my car often helps me with tickets.
The toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. If you want to jump in the remaining moments, you should do that now. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Moments remain. Enough time for you if you want to jump on the lines with us right now. Get on the radio. Talk about whatever's on your mind. 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have Discord call-in lines as well. You join our Discord server at discord.lrn.fm and jump into one of those top five rooms. You will be joined by us and we'll get you on the air with you tonight. By the way, it's Ian.
Richard Rich.
And Mark.
And also, don't forget to check out Richie on his show, which is The Anarchist Experience.
Anarchistexperience.com.
You guys also covered the immigration fake school story this week, I heard.
Yes, we did that, which is why I knew
a lot about it.
Yeah.
What else did you guys talk about? Was that it? Or
Well, we talked about, basically property rights when it comes to a contract between an organization and a venue and what Antifa can do to get the venue to cancel the contract, basically. It's hard to get into in a short time
span. Like pressuring?
Yeah. Was it pressure? Was it threats? Was
Who
it violence?
Canceled on what?
A buddy of mine, my co-host Ken Schoolin, had a friend who was organizing an anti-climate change conference.
Oh.
And Antifa caught wind of it because they monitor the website.
Is this in Hawaii?
No. Okay. Somewhere in... I forget where. Not in Hawaii, though. Ken's
but they
in Hawaii.
Called the, someplace they called
without
the venue?
A coast.
What's that?
Someplace without a coast.
Yeah.
They called the venue?
Antifa did something to the venue because they monitored the organization's website. They found out that they were holding this conference, and they pressured the venue in some way that we don't know, never found out, into canceling the organization from that venue
sad.
2 weeks ahead of when the conference was supposed to take place.
That is so sad. You know, they tried that with Keenvention once, which was the little convention that I threw here in Keene, New Hampshire for 3 years in a row. There was some hater that called in from the local group of haters here in town and tried to intimidate them into canceling our conference.
Right.
And luckily, they wanted the money more than they cared about what this idiot on the phone had to say.
Well, but Antifa has a history of being, violent in protests.
They might have threatened to actually blow the place up. Who knows?
They may have.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I felt that was an important distinction to make, because if they were just pressuring the organization, saying, like, we're going to boycott, or we're going to tell other people not to do business with you, I don't see that as illegitimate on its face.
No, that's legit.
Yeah.
It's kind of lame, but, you know, it's legit. So check him out over at anarchistexperience.com.
Yes, sir.
And also, thanks to What's the Frequency Kenneth, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. He contributes $5 a month to the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and that is a way for you to help us if you value what we do. If you think that Free Talk Live is worth the price of a fancy cup of coffee or a nice cheeseburger or whatever, then please send it over to us via PayPal or credit card or Bitcoin BTC, and we'll invest it into the show and get on more radio stations around the country. We've got over 200 stations that carry Free Talk Live at various times throughout the week. We could have 300, 400. It's certainly possible. We could use your help, though, to do it. So please join over at amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get perks like access to the supporters' chat rooms on our Discord forum or Discord server. There's also AMP-only Facebook group and more. You can get a full list of the perks over at amp.freetalklive.com. That's where you can sign up as well, ampamp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to David. He's in New Mexico listening to KENN. Hello, David.
Yeah, all of your topics kind of all come back, come together, and they all stem from the same thing. You're basically under attack as a society, and that's what this, KENN, Four Corners, Heart of Engine Country. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is all about. Oh, and by the way, minorities, all the minorities have come together to attack the majority. This is the way I see it, looking at it. I've been looking at it for like three decades. The first thing I noticed was with the universities that were kind of becoming a racket with their financial aid, and then different schools popping up to take advantage of that taxpayer-supplied financial aid. And the schools were kind of a racket, which you were talking about earlier. And we've gone further and further into that, schools being used for every different purposes as a racket, including being used by whatever you were saying, CIA or not CIA, but the although I'm sure they've used it, the customs, immigration, whatever, ICE, whatever. And these institutions are just being used in every different way. And now let me go back to the minorities. The various different minority groups have come together. And minority groups, you're using your power together to accomplish what is you think is rightfully yours. And you're probably correct. However, what you don't seem to be aware of is that your strings are being manipulated by unseen forces above you that are helping to organize you and helping you to fight. And if you ever get what you want, if you destroy the mainstream society, the majority society, that's when the people that above you that are helping you to accomplish what you want, that's when they're going to turn on you.
Well, that's when they slide into power.
Is that the deep state?
When the powers that be that are helping you to get the minorities to fight the old majority, when you succeed, then your handlers will turn on you and turn the whole society, the United States. What they want to do is turn the United States to a China-like thing or to a USSR-type thing. That's what that's about.
Who are these handlers and how do we stop them?
Yeah, is this like the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers? Who are we talking about here?
It's George Soros.
Since I'm not in their group, you know, I can't answer it for certainty, but it's all of the above. It's just the obvious thing. You know, it's human nature. If you want to visualize it, it's all the same. Look at some little town and who gets to be mayor and who's on the city council and what businesses in town that make money from whatever, do whatever deals. It's the same thing over and over, whether it's a municipal level.
Sure, the good old boys at the municipal level and such. And David, thank you for the call tonight. At the national or international level, I don't disagree with David as far as those people in search of power, those people in power. They definitely want people, the little guys, to be fighting with one another. They definitely want Group A, whether we're talking about, you know, people divided by racial lines or people divided by class lines or people divided by belief systems or whatever. They definitely want Group A, B, C, D, E, and Q all to be fighting with one another over whatever the issues they
perceive. That's typically to maintain the status quo, though. He suggested that something would change once one side won over the other.
If that ever even, you know, occurs. Ultimately, the people in power want people to be fighting with each other so they don't blame the real problem, which is the people in power and the idea of power and authority over other human beings.
Right. This is the most important thing you've said all evening, is a people that are united or a people that are simply not fighting amongst each other are impossible to rule.
That's right.
But people that are fighting amongst each other, easy as hell to rule. You know why? Because now you hang that golden sword of the state out there and say, if you can just grasp its handle, you can use it to slay the person who has harmed you, the person who has done these evil things to you. And let us enumerate those evil things and keep them top of mind for you. And then they hang the sword out there. You'll never get the sword. Nope. It keeps on being pulled from your grasp. But the notion that you might get it is what's important. And as long as they can have 2, 3, 5, 10, 37 groups fighting for that sword so that they can finally drive it through the heart of those evil people on the other side, well, then the sword is necessary. But if those people suddenly are getting along, nobody wants the sword. They're the sword. The sword is the only tool they have. And that sword is power. And this is, by the way, the whole point of the J.R.R. Tolkien stories of The Lord of the Rings.
Ring of power.
The ring of power. And Tolkien was absolutely a non-government libertarian.
Was he?
Yeah. And he pointed out, well, he referred to himself as an anarchist.
Good for him.
I didn't know that.
I've got problems with that term, but whatever. and you could see it throughout the book. Everybody's always wanting this ring. They get it in their hands and they've got it. They're supposed to give it up. Like, no, I can't give it up. Mm. They don't want to give it up. It eats at them. They think about it. They could never possibly give it up. And that is the whole point of it. Mm. And until you understand, you will continue to fight for that golden sword or the ring of power or whatever that is, that power over your neighbor, because your neighbor is bad, your neighbor is wrong, and they can't possibly be allowed to have power. And so what do? We ping pong back and forth in the United States between Republican and Democrat politicians as president and whatever.
Well, most of your neighbors aren't actually seeking power. They just want to live their lives how they want. But there's some people who can't allow their neighbors to live their lives how they want. They just can't even allow that. It's not just necessarily that your neighbor wants to grab the sword. They probably are too busy. You know, well, they're busy trying to take care of their family or pay the bills.
And even if you did get along, they would then introduce a new obstacle to fight over, right? They'd introduce a new boogeyman to perpetuate that fight amongst everybody.
We're out of time for tonight, but you can always join us online over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget our Discord server where the conversation continues around the clock over at discord.lrn.fm. And we will see you tomorrow. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
Business owners, you want more customers? Accept cryptocurrencies. There's people all around you just waiting to spend money at your store. If only you would take it. I know, you've been waiting till someone else makes it easy. Well, good news. Help Me Take Bitcoin.com adds Bitcoin to your point of sale, totally free. Use the same equipment you already have, now with Bitcoin. And unlike credit cards, there's no fees. Let the guys at HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com bring new customers to your store. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.